Well, I haven't said this in a while. TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday. How's everybody doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. This morning we're here at Face Studio One. That's right, the iHeartRadio Studio. And you know what? We just got to have it Friday without this. There we go. And it just so happens, I haven't had this in a while. I've got two of our favorites, fan favorites here. And you got it, the Deke's here. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and call him out. Deacon, let's go ahead and play your music there, buddy.
Thank you.
He's just kind of doing the old disco spin back in the 80s, I guess you could say. Oh my goodness. Okay, enough of that. Let's give him a cheer here at Faith Studio One, the IR Radio Studio. Let's give him a hand clap. How about some morning crow on a Friday? All right, quit laughing at him. Get that whistle rolling. We haven't heard a whistle in a while. All right, what do you say? Drum roll for the D. Fanfare. Countdown for the Deke.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Hello, Deke. How you doing?
C.A., how you doing? And hello, everybody. I haven't been on the air in such a long time. This is Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church, as C.A. would say, in Tyler, Texas. C.A., I'm doing good. It has been hot, brother, let me tell you. And I'm going to tell you something else, too, as well. We need a cool down, and I know we're not anywhere near it.
No, we are not. Don't be expecting a cool down anytime soon. Well, I say a cool down. They said the temperature was probably at what? Let's see, 100 and. Well, I'm going to say the temperature they said was about 110, 111. I topped off at 118 a few days ago. So, who knows? We'll just see what happens. And, you know, we want to stay hydrated. We want to be sure we drink plenty of liquid. And if you wind up, and this is the truth, if you wind up drinking Gatorade or Powerade, whatever it may be sure, whatever you do, be sure to mix, if especially if it's straight Gatorade, Deacon.
Uh-huh. You go ahead and tell the CA.
It's half Gatorade, half water.
Okay, like half and half. Yeah, that's easy. I can tell Miss Mildred. She'll say, honey, don't worry. I got it all under control.
There you go. Maybe one day we'll have Miss Mildred on the air.
Hopefully one day. All right, I know you got Producer Dave. It's going to be a nice round table, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Let's go ahead and get ready for his intro, Elvis. Producer Dave. Got that 10-gallon hat on. Here comes the drum roll. Wow, you know, you don't ever know how much in demand this man is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, wow. Let's give a cheer. Let's give a hand clap. All right, let's give a morning crow on a TGIF Friday. All right, quit laughing at him. We know he's kind of weak sometimes. Sorry, Producer Dave, being nice. Whistle at him. All right, come on now. Somebody give me a drum roll for this man. Fanfare. About countdown for Producer Dave.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, there we go. Your friend, my friend, on the round table with Deacon Paul Brown, Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Also, we got Producer Dave. Let's say howdy do to him. Howdy, Producer Dave. Well, see, I thank you so very much. I'm so glad to be sitting directly across from the Deke even without my mask on. Me and him don't have our mask on, neither do you, CIA, here at Beautiful Face Studio 1, the furnace, we should say, outside downtown Fort Worth. That's right. It's very hot, very humid. The wind, I've never seen such a thing where the wind was, and I'm a native Texan, where the wind is like a furnace when you're just, I mean, you could have a cookery out there and just, you don't need to light a grill up. You could already barbecue steaks or barbecue hamburgers or hot dogs or whatever it may be. Well, see, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. We were going to have a cookout at Play By Ann Studio. I told the late Paul's son, I told him, I said, you know, I just don't think we're going to be able to do that, son, simply because it's a furnace out there and we're on a band, basically a cook band. We can't cook outside. That's right. It's, you can't, you know, red flag warnings and all that that's been coming up. We just can't do that. Deacon, are y'all having any trouble out there in Tyler, Texas?
CA, I'm going to tell you right now, we do have a bun ban, and I've been going to the Turn Up Cafe getting fattened up on some of that meal. Now, Producer Dave, I took you out there, am I not correct, over there to the Turn Up Cafe with my lovely wife, Miss Mildred?
Yeah, you have her, Deacon. I'm going to tell you something right now. Well, now, me and you wanted that chicken fried steak. I know it's one of your favorite with the mashed potatoes and the gravy that just kind of slides on through and butter corn. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I like the steak. I like myself a New York strip. Ooh, did they cook you one over there, buddy? Oh, they sure did. How'd they cook it? Was it medium rare or was it well done?
He likes it well done. What man wouldn't, right? You know what I mean? First he got a little crazy and said, oh, I want a little pink. Then he changed his mind when they came out with it, and they said, yeah, you know what, just get it well done.
There you go. Absolutely. We're going to do a brief little round table, and I want to know if you had, I have two questions for each of you guys, and then I'm going to let y'all ask a question. My question to you, if you had any state to live in, what state would that be? Say, I would live in Colorado, just like you said. Durango is one of my favorite towns. I'd love it too. Okay, Deke, what about you?
CA, you might as well just put me over there in California. I love California. It's so gorgeous over there.
Okay, alrighty. Second question. Bottled water, I know it isn't a big deal. Everybody, do you like flavored bottled water? Do you like Pure Life, or do you like Azorca?
Now, CA, I'm going to answer that question first off. You don't mind that, Producer Davey. Basically, CA, I love water is water. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, unless you come from the city tap, and then that's kind of a different situation.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. But water is water. We ain't got no problem. You know what I mean?
Okay, we answer my question. Producer Dave?
CA, I love... Oh, sorry. I interrupted, didn't I? Producer Dave, I get so confused.
Oh, don't worry about third date. It's okay. It happens sometimes with the switching of the mic and the way CA pushes those buttons. Now, CA, son, I'm going to tell you something right now. I like that Pure Life and Azorca. It's kind of running side by side, you know what I mean? Neck to neck running, kind of. But I like that, and I also love flavored water, too, as well. Well, there you go. All right, so I'm going to ask, before we go into music, and today is Billy Graham Fridays. We got a great Billy Graham, guys, that's going to be coming up, and it's called A Halting Between Two Choices. So I can't wait to have you guys hear that. And hold on a minute. I'm playing that a little too soon. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at right now. So I'm go ahead and ask each other one question, and we're going to get playing some music. Okay, no problem at all. Now, Deke, I have a question for you. Now, you said that you like the Turnip Cafe. Do you like Golden Corral, too, as well?
Oh, Golden Corral. No, sir. Golden Corral, son. Let me tell you something. Every single time I go to Golden Corral, I know it's a kid-friendly show, SCA, if you don't mind. I got to go hit that toilet every time I can, you know what I mean? And they can't hold enough toilet paper for the Deacon.
Oh, my gosh. This is a G-rated show there, buddy. I can't believe you're going to be saying that.
What about you there, Producer Dave?
Well, my favorite is, I like Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now, they have some great steak out there, Deacon. I'm going to tell you, it's really good. Okay, guys, I don't mean to cut it short, but I want y'all to have a great day. Enjoy your Friday. We got Billy Graham Friday coming up. So, I got to go ahead and pray Andrew Rip fill my cups or anything. Can y'all want to say goodbye to everybody?
See, hey, I want to tell everybody on Radio Land, on Nile Radio, and all other 65 major networks. Y'all have a great weekend. Deke be back next week.
Producer Dave? Well, I just want to say before I head out to TBN studio, everybody have a great day. Stay hydrated. Be good, and producer Dave will talk to you soon.
Sounds good, guys. All right, fill my cup, Andrew Rip. Billy Graham Fridays coming up immediately after this. Stay tuned. Okay, guys, what we're going to do is we're going to switch gears on the Billy Graham lesson today on Billy Graham Fridays. This is back in 1983, Puget Sound, Oregon. The Gift of Blood. We had audio trouble on the other one, so I do apologize. The Gift of Blood, Billy Graham Fridays, enjoy.
Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. For thou hast made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever and ever. This is a picture of a scene that is going to take place someday in heaven at the throne of God. These 24 elders that you read about here represent the 12 apostles, and they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. The four beasts that it says is a mistranslation. It's four creatures, angelic beings, mighty beings of God, and they're at the throne of God. And God has never allowed anybody to look into the future. No one can look into the future. God has it in that book, and it was sealed. And the reason John was weeping is because nobody could open those seals. Nobody was worthy to open these seals, because these seals held the secret of the past, present, and future of the human race. And God was going to show through these seals what is about to come upon the earth. And John saw that nobody was worthy to open them. And he wept. Then an angel came to him and said, Don't weep anymore. There's somebody here worthy. He is the Lion. The root of David hath prevailed. Then when John looked, he didn't see a lion. When he looked, instead of seeing a lion, he saw a lamb. A sacrificial lamb who had died. And this lamb was the only one in all of heaven, on all the earth, or under the earth, that was able to open those seals. And the fifth chapter that I've just read is really one of the most thrilling in the Bible. There was a period of silence, and then John weeping, no one able to open the book, and out of the midst of the throne came the Lion, but not in the form of a lion, but a lamb which had been slain, and the book was open, and it reveals the past, present, and future. The secret of the ages is out at last. And it says that by blood God has reconciled the world unto himself through the death of his only begotten Son. And they sang a new song. And Brother Odom and Shay and Barras and the choir are going to have to learn a new song. A song they've never heard before. But it's going to be about the blood of the Lamb. Not about a lion, but about a lamb. The music of heaven has centered around the cleansing and redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. All heaven recognized at this moment that redemption was through and by the blood of the Lamb. But you know, the Bible tells us about blood from Genesis to Revelation. And many people wonder why God demands blood. The scripture says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, blood stands for life. When blood leaves your body, that means life is gone. The first war that I ever went to was the one in Korea. Grady Wilson and I went in that fall after we had been here, and we spent Christmas there. And I'll never forget the bloody sights that we saw. And we went to Busan, and I remember we got on a train to go up to Seoul at night, and they warned us, get down behind your baggage because the train will likely be shot at. Boy, we stayed down behind that baggage all night. But there was a reporter on that train that didn't, and he had his hand a little bit up and got his finger shot off. But somehow we survived it when the guerrillas did attack. And we were there a number of times and had some interesting and very cheery and broken-hearted times with servicemen during the war. And I'm so delighted to see so many here tonight, and we are so honored to have them here from the various bases. How many bases we've been to, I don't know whether we could ever count them up, all over the world, to minister and to greet them, and they've always encouraged us wherever we've gone. And we ought to support those people who've dedicated their lives to defending our freedom and defending our way of life. Now, from the third chapter of Genesis, when man was in the Garden of Eden, and he broke God's law, and he rebelled against God, and he found out that he was naked, and God went out in the field and slew some animals and shed some blood in order to take their skins and cover their nakedness, from that moment on, blood has been shed as a symbol of our salvation. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel had apparently been instructed as to how to worship God. And Cain paid no attention. He brought some vegetables to God as an offering. God rejected it. Abel brought a blood sacrifice, a calf, and offered it to the Lord. And God accepted it. And Cain grew very angry and very jealous of his brother, and he slew him, and that was the first murder. And blood again was slain, the first blood that was shed in anger. And war has been going on between brothers in the human race ever since. And Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars till the end of time. And then we see when Moses was down in Egypt trying to get the people out of Egypt and trying to get them into the promised land. And he was having these debates with Pharaoh. And you remember that God said, all right, tell them that I'm going to kill the firstborn in all of Egypt tonight. And tell the people, the Jewish people, to go out and slay a lamb without blemish and put the blood on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. Not when I see their good works. And that was the beginning of Passover. The slaying of those animals and the blood. God didn't say when I see their good works or even when I see your ethnic background. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Now, there are several great words on the power and value of the blood around which the music of the angelic host in this fifth chapter of Revelation is gathered. The first word is redemption. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. You go to a pawn shop, and articles of value are placed for a loan. A time limit is set, and the failure of the borrower to reimburse with interest, the pawn shop automatically releases the article to the public. And any person putting up that amount required is able to buy out of the pawn that article. And this is called redemption. We redeem it out of the pawn shop. Now, the Bible teaches that we as a human race are in the pawn shop of the devil. And by disobedience, we're enslaved and spiritually under his authority, unable to redeem ourselves. And Christ died on the cross and paid the price for our salvation and redeemed us by the giving of his own blood. Then the second word is remission, which means forgiveness. Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we go back again to the Old Testament. Hebrews quotes it, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And Jesus in his death on the cross made possible the forgiveness of sins and the extension of mercy at the same time. Holiness was left pure, and while mercy and love provided the demands of justice, this is the heart of the gospel. There is no gospel but this. Redemption, remission. Then there's another word associated with the blood, and that's justification. in Romans 5, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Again, the blood. Being justified freely by his grace. Notice his grace. Grace is unmerited favor, something I don't deserve. I don't deserve my sins forgiven. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'll be honest with you. I don't deserve it. I deserve hell. Someone asked me a few moments ago before I came on the platform, don't you feel very good about all this and all that? I said, I feel like Martin Luther did. He was born 500 years ago this year. He said, when I come into the presence of God, I feel like a worm. A little girl was asked by her mother if she was afraid to die. And she said, no, mother. On what are you depending? The mother asked. On the justice of God, said the little girl. Oh, you don't mean the justice of God. You mean the mercy of God. No, mother, said the daughter. I mean the justice of God. You know, mother, all my sins were laid on Jesus and he bore my punishment. And God in his justice is not going to punish me too. He's not going to let Christ die on the cross and you be lost. If you believe in Christ and put your trust in him. And then another word associated with blood is cleansing. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, continues to cleanse us from all sin. When you come to the cross, not only does he cleanse all the past sins, but that blood is available for any present or future sins, so that you stand before God justified, ready to go to heaven. That's a marvelous thing to have happen to you. You see, fire is a cleansing power. The jeweler is often called upon to refashion some old silver or gold, and the article is placed in a pot over an alcohol flame and allowed to remain there for several hours, and the boiling process cleanses. Corrosion and dust and other metals come to the surface and are dipped off. It's called dross. And that's what the blood of Christ does. It cleanses. It takes all those bad elements out and leaves you standing before God justified and pure. God can no longer see your sins. You can take some brown sugar and dip it in the blood from animals, and it'll bleach the sugar next to the snow in its whiteness. We're cleansed by blood in the spiritual realm. The process is that of repentance and faith. To all who would forsake sin, God offers a new chance. There was a student co-ed I read about the other day at 19 years of age. She got into the Guinness Book of Records this year by standing in the shower for a consecutive 121 hours. Think of that. You know, back when I was a boy, they used to see how many goldfish they could swallow. And then they'd see how many kids could get in a telephone booth. And we had all kinds of, or how you could sit on a pole, how long you could sit on a pole. Then they had what they called the walk-a-thons. They would go all over the country, and people would see how long they could dance. And some of them would dance for 3 and 4 and 5 weeks, night and day, never sleeping, dancing. And the one that lasted the longest would get maybe $75. Tonight, you can be cleansed by the blood of Christ, and you don't have to take a 121-hour shower. It can happen tonight, right now. It's an instant thing with Christ. He promises to blot out all the old sins and make the record begin with a new start. Wouldn't that be wonderful? A brand new start in life. To be born from above, to be born anew, to start over, and all the past forgiven. That's what God offers you tonight. Then there's another word. There's redemption and remission and justification and cleansing. Then there's peace. Peace in the midst of a world filled with war. We're told that there are 40 wars going on right now in the world. And there's all sorts of wars in families, all sorts of wars between friends going on. In Colossians 1:20 it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Because of that blood, we can have peace. There are three types of peace spoken of in the Bible. First is peace with God. You see, God says that because of our sins, we're at war with him. He makes peace at the cross. Then there's the peace of God that the Holy Spirit produces in you. When you come to Christ, you have a peace that you've never known before. Think of the restlessness in the world today. Among so many of us, the pressures that we live under. But to think of having peace in the midst of it all. And then this peace between nations, and that's going to happen someday when Jesus comes back again. There's absolute harmony in heaven because of the shed blood. I heard about a famous incident in the First World War. A terrible battle had taken place, and there were two wounded soldiers. One was a German and the other was French. And as they lay near each other on the field, the Frenchman gave his enemy a drink of cool water for his tongue. Then they clasped hands and they prayed. And the dying German said, "There'll be no war on the other side." And in a few moments, they were both on the other side. And there's no war there. Peace. But you can have that peace here and now. In the midst of the troubles and trials and discouragements of life and the pressures of life, you can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Right now, there's no war going on in the heart of those who really know Christ if you surrender to him. Not only is there peace, but there's also another word, access. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We can come straight into the presence of God. We don't have to come through a third person. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and a living way, says Hebrews 10. From the cross, the Lord said, "It is finished." The veil in the temple was rent in twain. There was a veil between the people and God. But when Christ died, that veil was rent in two. And it's been rent ever since. And this was symbolic of the veil between God and man that had kept fallen man from having access to the Father. I heard about a prisoner who was brought up to trial in England under the reign of Charles I. And throughout the proceedings, the condemned man remained calm. And people couldn't figure out because everything was going against him. They knew the judge was going to pronounce him guilty, and they knew that he was going to be condemned to hang. And he was so calm, and he had such peace, it seemed. And so the sentence of death was passed. And he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a paper and handed it to the judge. It was a pardon from King Charles I. He already had it. If you have pardon from God, you can stand before anything in this world with peace in your heart. Because if you're ready to die, you're ready to live. And you've already been pardoned because of Christ. So in the day of judgment, if we have Christ's free pardon for sin, we're not afraid of anything at the judgment. When I see the blood, I read about in a hospital in Pennsylvania recently, a fella died in the hospital because he was given the wrong kind of blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed on the cross for us, was the right type of blood to cleanse and infuse every person in this room tonight with life and life eternal. There's no pollution in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pure. It'll cleanse from every sin, no matter what it is. The blood accomplishes three things. It satisfies God, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, we sometimes refuse to rest where God rests. When the atonement has been made, God was satisfied. Nothing needs to be added to the demands of his holy nature. Divine justice was completely satisfied. We're constantly seeking to add merit or to combine work along with what Christ did on the cross. But you don't have to. It was all done at the cross. And in the resurrection, are you ready to meet him? Though your sins were scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So we can say with Paul, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." The second thing the blood does, it saves sinners like you and me. I'm a sinner, yes. I deserve judgment in hell, yes. But for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, there's a tremendous sense of relief when I realize that he gave it to me. that my name is written in the book of life, that I know that I'm going to heaven. It liberates you from anxiety and fear. And how many of us live in anxiety and fear today? If I had the ability to sing like Doug Odom or Bev Shea or some of these people, I would burst forth right now in amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a sinner like me. But it also does one other thing. It silences the devil. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You see, the Bible teaches a strange thing, and I don't quite understand all this now. I'll get some clergyman here to explain it to me sometime. But Satan is standing daily before the throne of God accusing us. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's saying, look at that, Billy Graham, you see that? He didn't do that. He did that. He did this. He did that. He's accusing us all the time. But Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's my lawyer. At the right hand of God the Father, he answers the devil. And he reminds the devil that when he died on the cross, that took care of Billy Graham's sins. And there came a day when Billy Graham repented of his sins and received Christ as his own Savior. And Jesus said, look at that. And the devil has to back away and says, yes, he's under the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Is the blood tonight sprinkled on the door of your heart? Will the judgment of God pass over you, or are you going to have to face the judgment of God? Which is it going to be?
Amen. And there we go. The gift of the blood. The gift of the blood. That's the Billy Graham lesson for today, exclusively and only on the Morning Brew Christian podcast show on iHeartRadio. Well, friends, let's get ready to close out. Excuse me, got a frog in my throat. Let's get ready to close out. Not a real frog, of course. I'm going to close out in prayer on a Friday. Dear Jesus, we thank you for everything you do, Father God. I just pray you be with us, guide us, watch over, protect us, take care of us, we pray. Let us have a good Friday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Guys, if there's anything I can do, you can always email me up here at the studio, Faith Studio 1, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. And I guess the weather's relating to my vocal cords. But anyway, remember the sun does rise on the other side, and I want you to enjoy life. LIFE, explanation point dot. This is CA on iHeartRadio. Have a good day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.